Welcome to another episode of Before You Kill Yourself with your host, Leo Flowers. I am Leo Flowers. Today, we're going to talk about morning routines that outshine caffeine. This is a webinar I recently did for a group of people. And at the end of my webinars, I have a Q&A section. And sometimes we run out of time for that Q&A section. And I take the questions that I haven't answered and I answer them in this podcast episode. So I give you a brief overview of a morning routine that outshines caffeine. And then we'll get into the questions that the attendees had. And the reason why I'm posting it here is because so many people drink caffeine in the morning, whether it's in coffee, tea, Red Bull, 5-hour energy, or 4-hour energy. Even kids are drinking, you know, lattes. I see so many kids at Starbucks. It's like everyone needs caffeine to wake up in the morning. I'm a person who used to take caffeine, also or drink caffeine in the morning, and I have since gotten off of it because I noticed how sensitive I was to it, to the point where even if I had one cup of green tea, it would interfere with my sleep that night. I would feel like this light buzz. I get a slight headache in the front of my head. And also, my girlfriend, Michelle, she was constantly complaining about having headaches in the prefrontal cortex region of her head, the frontal part of her head. And I suggested, because she loved at the time to go to Starbucks every day and get these large lattes. And I go, I think it's the caffeine. And sure enough, she trusted me, got off the caffeine, and I have not heard anything about a headache ever since. So if you're experiencing headaches, especially in the frontal part of your head, or having trouble sleeping, then you might want to look at your caffeine intake and your sensitivity to it. Some people can have, I know people can have 3, 4, 5 cups of coffee and sleep like a baby at night. And I know some people who can take a sip of Coca-Cola and be undone and be up for 3 days. So it's really not about how much or how little and making a blanket statement. It's really about experiencing or experimenting with what works and doesn't work for you to get the results that you want in terms of sleep and optimal performance in the day, and also avoiding any type of headaches or body aches that may be associated with it. So the basic gist of the morning routine that outshines caffeine is, in the morning, we think that we need caffeine to wake up, when really the pursuit of caffeine releases dopamine, right? Just the thought, the anticipation of the caffeine, of the coffee, of the tea, of the, you know, the energy drink, that releases dopamine that actually wakes us up, right? So once again, it's not the coffee that's waking us up or getting us excited. It's actually the thought of getting the coffee. That's what's getting us out of bed. And so we see the same thing with addiction, where all the endorphins that are released in association with the addictive substance we're seeking, or I don't say all, but it starts even before we take the substance, before we watch the porn, before we, do the drugs. We're already releasing dopamine in our system. It's kind of like a dog salivating at breakfast, lunch, and dinner time, because they know that the food is coming. They hear some noises, some triggers, some sounds, the smells, and they go, oh, it's coming. And they're already excited and salivating, right? So we can take advantage of that and have other things in place that get us equally excited to get out of bed in the morning. Because a lot of us, I'm imagining, have a job or school or just a day's task that we're not looking forward to, right? We're like, another day, another dollar kind of thing. And so part of the morning routine for me that I've structured is called the Daily Germs, J-E-R-M-S. It stands for journaling, exercising, reading, meditating, self-talk. And I'll quickly go through these and so I can get to the questions. And actually, this is one of the questions. One of the members asked, what does GERM stand for again? Journal, exercise, read, meditate, self-talk. So journal in the morning. I'm going to tell you what I do, and then I'm going to give you ideas for what you can do, because what I do is based off my schedule and my time, and that may not be practical for you, right? So it's about really finding a way of implementing this that fits your needs. So journaling. For me, I journal 3 pages in the morning or 25 minutes straight. I just freestyle write. It's just a quick verbal. It's not, 25 minutes is not quick, but it's a mental dump to just get the whatever gunk is in my head out onto the page, so that I'm kind of aware of where I'm at. How am I starting my day? What are the thoughts and feelings and emotions that I'm having? It's just a way for me to kind of tune in to myself. And then the second thing I do is, and here is not about being grammatically correct or having it make any sense. You're just freestyle writing, just dumping for 3 pages or 25 minutes. I set a timer and I just go. And whatever comes out, comes out. It could be beautiful and eloquent. It could be violent and vitriolic. I just let it be whatever it's going to be. And another way to do this is to journal with your non-dominant hand. And I've talked about this also, because it really encourages us to be present. So journaling really allows us to tap into our emotions and feelings. But when we journal with our non-dominant hand, it really can exercise other parts of our brain that usually aren't being tapped. This is why, like, musicians can access creative parts of the brain, because usually they're using both hands, whether you're a drummer or playing a guitar, even a singer, you're kind of, passing the mic from one hand to the other. So we know that being ambidextrous, trying to do things with both hands, even if it's brushing your teeth with your non-dominant hand, can help to access more creative parts and help to expand our perspective and get clarity on our life. Then the second thing is exercise. Now, ideally, you're exercising outside with other people. And for me, that is going for a walk in the morning. I go for a walk, and part of my loop, I try to get the 10,000 steps in. And part of my loop is stopping at a grocery store to get my breakfast, and then I bring it back and I eat that. So I'm exercising by walking, and we live in a hilly area. I'm outdoors, so I'm getting that vitamin D and that sunlight in my eyes. And then there are neighbors and people that I know and the cashier that I say hi and hello to. So in essence, that's me exercising with others. So notice the creativity there, the latitude that you have, the flexibility in terms of exercising outdoors with others. It doesn't have to be in a sweat lodge or a CrossFit gym or SoulCycle class or yoga studio. Exercising outdoor with others is important, because it allows us to get that oxytocin release, that bonding. That's the bonding chemical, the connection chemical, right? A lot of us, if you think about how a lot of people spend their morning, they wake up, they get in their car, they drive to work, they get in their cubicle, they get back in their car and they drive home. And there's not really a lot of human connection. You might interact with people at work, but that's a work connection. It's something beautiful and nurturing about connecting with people on a human level versus on a academic or work or professional level, right? Our soul needs to be seen as a person on a daily basis. And then the second part is reading. So I love to read in the morning, and I have two types of books I might read in the morning. One is like a daily meditation. I know a lot, some people read the Bible a few verses in the morning, take notes. That's beautiful. I have a Zen book. It's called 365 Days of Meditations. And so I'll read a daily meditation, take notes on that. And then sometimes I'm reading a fiction novel or a self-help book. And so I might read that in the morning. So I have different types of books that I'm reading. But what's important here is that we're reading it, and reading is a way of engaging our brain, right? So exercise and exercising outdoors with other people is helping to engage our body and soul and our spirit. Reading is a way of engaging our brain. Journaling can do that also, but really journaling is more about just dumping any gunk. It's kind of like a mouthwash, right? Where reading is, we're actually taking in information and processing it and thinking about the information as it's coming in. And then, of course, we have meditation. So meditation doesn't have to be this where you sit quietly for an hour and, you know, chant Nam Myo Renge Kyo. Meditation, you can have a walking meditation. Meditation is anything you're focusing your mind on. So the if you're ruminating about a negative event or a painful event, I should say, or a hurtful event that took place during the day or the week or the month, then guess what? That's a meditation, because you are focusing on this one thing over and over again. If you are meditating, are you meditating on your breath, right? 5 second inhale, 5 second exhale. That's a meditation. And so when I meditate, I prescribe to that HRV breathing type of meditation, where I'm inhaling for 5 seconds and then exhaling for 5 seconds. And I do this for a few minutes. You'll notice that after about 3 minutes of 5 second inhales and then 5 second exhales, you'll find yourself feeling grounded, serene, and tranquil. Your shoulders will drop, your breathing will become deeper, and your mind will feel expanded. So you can do the HRV breathing for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour, whatever works for you. But I find that 3 to 5 minutes is really all you need. And I would recommend 5 minutes for most people. And then the fifth part of the germs, we have journal, we have exercise, reading, meditating, self-talk. So self-talk, I love this part. And it actually, self-talk for me has changed since I conceived the daily germs. Self-talk originally for me was giving myself positive affirmations, right? I'd wake up every day and be like, I'm powerful, charismatic, and a great entertainer. I create my own opportunities. The more I give, the more I receive. I love working and I'm richly rewarded, both creatively and financially. I'm strong and self-confident. The power of I'm strong and self-confident. Every day, I'm surrounded by powerful and beautiful people every day and in every way. My life is getting better. My dreams are alive. I forget what the word is. But that used to be my self-talk. And then I soon learned that for myself, what's really effective is not positive talk, and is obviously not going to be negative talk. It's learning neutral talk. So when we talk neutrally about our life and ourselves, it takes the judgment out of it. For instance, some people would say, if you say to someone or ask someone, how was your day? They might say, hey, I had a good day. Or they might say, I had a bad day. Good and bad are both judgments. Oh, I had a crappy day. That's a judgment. Oh, I had an awesome day. That's a judgment, right? So what I'm learning is neutral talk. When someone says, how was your day? Be like, oh, you know, I went to work, I had a meeting with my boss, we learned X, Y, and Z. I was a bit tired, but at least I showed up. The point of neutral talk is to take the judgment out of how we talk and to describe, observe, and describe our day versus judging our day. It is more fun to judge our day, to be like, ah, it sucked, or that was awful, that was crap, right? But sometimes that can get out of hand, and we then can turn that in on ourselves, where we can look at our body and be like, my body sucks, I'm crap, I'm fat, I'm short, I'm such a slouch, I'm so lazy, right? So if we don't learn how to do neutral talk, then we can just fall into the trap of either judging things for the positive or for the negative and never finding that neutral space. So for instance, when we look at our bodies, instead of saying I'm fat or I'm overweight or, you know, I have a ugly body, to be like, I have a body. That's a very neutral statement. Instead of being like, I need to walk faster. Well, that's a judgment. To be like, hey, I'm walking. Neutral statement. You know, that was dumb. Be like, oh, that was done. Neutral statement, right? So to find ways in which we've been judging ourselves, whether in a positive or the negative, and to find a way to neutralize those statements. Instead of, like, especially in the morning, right, where you go, oh, like, I hate work. Be like, I have work. Working out sucks. Hey, I can work out for 20 minutes, right? So finding that neutral statement that allows you to find the middle ground and then see how you feel, because then that might propel you to actually engage in a thing that you've been judging so harshly, like, oh, that's so hard. It's like, but I'm capable. I'm capable of doing that. And I'm open, willing, and capable of doing that. That's not a judgment. That is a neutral statement, right? And then, all right, so that covers the germs. And now, obviously, the second question is, I got from someone was, how do you do that? How do you do the daily, the morning routine, the journal, exercise, reading, meditating, self-talk, when you leave and arrive at work in the, in the morning? Oh, in the dark. So, okay, great question. So basically, it sounds like this person probably wakes up at 4 a.m. and then has to be at work at 5 a.m., right? So it's like, wow, it's still dark. How do I do all that stuff when there's just not a lot of time for me in the morning? So here's the beautiful part. We can sprinkle the germs throughout our day. I'll say that again. We can sprinkle it throughout our day. So if you're working, say 5 a.m. to, 6 p.m. or 4 p.m., I'm going to assume, you know, I've had day jobs and I've worked two jobs. You get these little breaks, right? Whether it's a 10-minute break, 15-minute break, 5-minute break, what have you. And unless we're using that break to use the restroom, we can sprinkle in the germs throughout our breaks. So say on your 5-minute break, you can use that time to kind of journal and do a quick dump for 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be 25 minutes. It doesn't have to be for 3 pages, but do a quick journaling dump, because things happen throughout our day and they can upset us and trigger us and raise our cortisol levels. And then we come home and we could possibly take that out either in a binge or in an argument with our significant other. And if we can get that quick dump on a page, all right, now it's not built up as much. Now we found a way to channel that energy. So you can squeeze that in. Exercise, right? You get that 30-minute lunch break. I would suggest going for a quick walk and then eating your lunch instead of going straight from work to lunch. Now, I know a lot of people don't have a break that's long enough for them to actually go for a walk, or the structure of where they work doesn't allow them to go for a walk. But you can, you know, sometimes you can walk within the facility. I remember when I was substitute teaching, sometimes the teachers would walk around a school, or they would are inside the school and get their exercise, right? Going up and down the stairs in the school to kind of get their steps in. So finding a way to exercise, sprinkle in exercise throughout your day. And it could even be stretching, right? Just, you know, kind of stretching out instead of sitting in a chair in the lounge for, you know, a half hour or hour and never really moving your body. Reading, same thing. You don't have to read, you know, 30 pages. You can, you know, say, hey, I'm just going to read like 3 pages, or I'm going to read a chapter. Just, you could sprinkle that in throughout your day. And then meditating, that's something that you can do throughout your day. You can be, you know, focusing on your breath. Here's another way to meditate that that's not really talked about. We can meditate on words. So if you're working with other people, right, to count the number of words someone uses starting with the letter C. So now you're meditating on the letter C. And then it looks like you're really tuned into what that person's saying, right? Or you can meditate, you can say, or you can count the number of times you see red in the next hour. Now you're meditating on the color red. So meditation is not about just sitting and going, nam yo, haringa yo, or, you know, or whatever it is. It can also be you're intentionally selecting what you're focusing on for a period of time, whether it's for 5 minutes, an hour, or your entire day. What are you meditating on intentionally? It's about intentionally determining what you're thinking about and what you're going to focus on. Because otherwise, our brain is just going to focus on this, that, our past, our future, our worries, our regrets, and what we feel guilty about, and our shame, and all the ways in which we drop the ball or coming up short, or how we're not enough. So meditation is a chance for us to pick what we actually want our brain to focus on. And then self-talk, you know, that's something that you can also practice throughout the day, of noticing when you're about to make a judgment statement, that was good, that was bad, that sucked, that was awful, and make a neutral statement, right? Even with sports, you'd be like, oh, that team sucks. You're like, oh, well, that team probably needs a point guard, or that team, they did really great, or not great, but it seemed like the half-court pressure was effective in preventing the other team from scoring. So we find these ways to pull out the judgment statements and implant neutral statements, which then become much more powerful, right? What was the next part? All right, so the next question is, what about caffeine pills instead of a beverage? So once again, we're talking about the morning routine that outshines caffeine. Caffeine pills, I think we've answered that, right? Because the idea is like, I'm not against caffeine. The idea here is that if you feel like caffeine is causing an interference, i.e. either you're crashing in the middle of the day, or it's preventing you from sleeping at night, or causing headaches, or even interfering with your workouts, because caffeine can be an inflammatory, right? So if it's inflaming your muscle tissues, it's actually preventing the flow of blood to get through there. And that could be impacting your workout. So for some people, caffeine can cause inflammation, which then hinders their performance in the gym. Now, once again, it's not like that for everyone. So you have to be aware of how caffeine is impacting you. So with that said, with caffeine pills, I would say notice how it's impacting you. I would stay away from caffeine pills just because you don't know what's in these pills. The FDA does not regulate supplements, right? I'll say that again. The Food and Drug Administration does not regulate supplements. The only time the Food and Drug Administration gets involved with supplements is if there's been a complaint about the supplements, but they do not test the supplement before it's put on the market. So anything can be put on a market and say, any supplement can be thrown out on a market and say that it's a caffeine pill, which is crazy to me, especially when we have so many people dying from fentanyl. So the FDA is not testing. That's why, like, if you watch commercials, it'll say these statements have not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Yeah, they don't get involved unless like 100 people die. Crazy, right? So I would stay away from supplements if possible. If you need to take supplements, I'm not, you know, take it, try it, see how you feel. But we don't want to be reliant on it. And if you find a supplement company that you trust and it works for you and you're getting the results you want, stick with that company. Don't bounce around from company to company. Now, obviously, most companies are going to do their due diligence in making sure people aren't dying because that's bad for business. So we can count on capitalism and trying to make money for keeping you healthy and preventing these companies from, poisoning us all, thankfully, right? So, yeah, caffeine pills is the same thing as a beverage. And also, actually, if you're going to do a caffeine pill, take the least amount suggested. So sometimes they'll say, hey, take 3 caffeine pills. I would start off with 1 because if you're switching from a beverage to a pill, you're not going to know how potent it is. It's kind of like when people start doing edibles, right? You're smoking weed, but now it's hard to tell just how potent this edible is going to be. So just take a tiny little piece and see how you feel. And then measure out from there. So slow and easy with the caffeine pills. Now, the next question is, I will begin new routines with eagerness, but find I lose consistency and it falls off just like a New Year's resolution. This is typical. Don't beat yourself up over this. What I would say is, if you're starting a new routine, give yourself a time limit. Don't just say, all right, this is my new routine for the rest of my life. Instead, say, I'm going to try this for the next 30 days and then just see what happens. So you're not going for 100% hit rate. You're just noticing and observing how you respond to this new routine. Because remember, it is a new routine. So you may find that you don't need to incorporate all the aspects of the daily germs. For you, you might find that the journaling is the most important part for you. So instead of incorporating all 5 aspects, journaling, exercising, reading, meditating, self-talk, if those are 5 things that you've never done and you're not used to, I would pick 1 thing. Be like, all right, I'm just going to try journaling every morning for the next 30 days and see what happens. Now, on the flip side, you can also, if you find that you can stick to the daily germs, the journal, exercising, reading, meditating, self-talk, for 30 days, and then you start to fall off, then what I would do is pick the 1 thing that you want to focus on for the next 30 days. Be like, all right, for the next 30 days, I'm just going to focus on journaling because I'm losing my momentum. Instead of fighting it, go with it. Be like, all right, I'm losing my enthusiasm, my eagerness for doing the daily germs after 30 days. All right, so cool. Let's focus just on the journaling and see how that feels, right? So now what we're doing, we can be habit stacking. So 30 days of journaling, and then the next 30 days we go, I'm just going to focus on the exercising in the morning. Great. And then the next 30 days on reading in the morning. Awesome. And then what we'll find is over time, we'll find ourselves incorporating all 5 as needed, or we might find that we're doing the daily germs every day. It becomes more natural. So there's different ways to approach this. What's most important is that you don't feel overwhelmed. The purpose and point of a morning routine that outshines caffeine is that it's something that we're looking forward to and that actually is waking us up and alerting us. So these are different ways to release dopamine. Remember, that's what caffeine is doing. The thought of caffeine, getting caffeine, it's releasing dopamine, right? So if we journal in the morning, exercise, we read, we meditate, we self-talk, all these different things are also releasing dopamine. So these are just different mechanisms to get to the same outcome, right? And when we release that dopamine, then we are awake. The next question was, what is my opinion about intermittent fasting? All right, so intermittent fasting is something that I do. I stop eating at 6 p.m., and then I resume eating at 8 a.m. I actually haven't really had my breakfast yet, and it's almost 9 a.m., but I did have a massive strawberry this morning. So I firmly believe in intermittent fasting that works for you. And when I say that works for you, some people intermittent fast for so long that they end up just binge eating and stuffing their faces with all the things. That's not healthy for you either. You want to find that range that allows you to optimize for the things you want to optimize for. So for instance, I like to optimize for sleep. So that's why I stop eating at 6, because I typically am not in bed till 11. When I stop eating at 6, I get in bed at 11. That's more than enough time for the food that I've eaten to digest. And then I'm not gassy, burpy. It eliminates the acid reflux and the GERD. That's what I wanted to optimize for, right? And then I eat at 8 a.m. because I'm typically up around 6:30 in the morning. And then I can get up, I can do my morning routine, and then by 8 a.m., I'm ready for breakfast. So I'm optimizing for my life. So you may find that over time, you're changing the hours or the range of your intermittent fasting. But my point is, your intermittent fasting doesn't have to be this like 16 or 20-hour thing and then 4 hours of eating. Find what works for you, what feels safe for you, and what feels sustainable for you. But most importantly, what are you optimizing for? Because on the flip side, when I'm in real beast mode in terms of work, I may eat breakfast later than 8 a.m. because I find that I get more done, I'm more focused before I have my first meal. So there's some mornings where I wake up and I get straight to work. Right now, this is actually one of those mornings. I'll admit I have not done my journaling, exercising, reading, meditating, or self-talk. I got up and I took my medications and then immediately started recording this podcast, right? So, but throughout the day, I'm going to sprinkle in my journal, exercising, reading, meditating, self-talk. But once again, recording this podcast is releasing the dopamine, right? This is my caffeine. So the point is that when you understand what's actually happening physiologically, what your body is actually trying to get to, then you can be flexible and adaptive instead of feeling shoehorned in by, I have to do it this way, right? People who go, I have to do it this way, that lets me know that they don't have a full comprehensive understanding of what they're doing and why they're doing it and how it works. When you have that, you can be more flexible and adaptive. And that's the importance of, you know, working with me as a life coach, is that I can teach you these skills of how to be flexible and adaptive and how to expand your perspective on what's going on in your world, whether you're grieving, whether you're in pain, physical pain, emotional pain, whether you're struggling to find your purpose, or whether you found your purpose and now you want to learn how to build and create and architect your life and have a more prosperous life, right? So when we learn how to be flexible and adaptive in our thinking, now we feel safe. Now we have this freedom and we can go anywhere and do anything. And we have this confidence that we exude and attract the life that we want, right? So yeah, intermittent fasting, I'm all thumbs up on that. But remember, people's definition, you have to define for yourself intermittent fasting and find that range that works for you, right? Now, what about coffee at night and sleeping? All right, well, coffee is a stimulant, right? And at night, we are trying to land the plane. So we definitely don't want to drink coffee at night. Now, I know a lot of people who drink coffee at night and claim that it doesn't interfere with their sleep. I would guess that they're so used to drinking coffee at night that they don't realize how much is interfering with their sleep, right? You get used to a certain thing, and after a while, you don't realize it's harming you. It's kind of like if somebody punches you in the shoulder, those first few punches are going to hurt, and after a while, your arm is going to go numb, but they're still punching your shoulder. So damage is still being done. Even if your arm is numb, there is still more damage that's being done to your nervous system, your circulatory system. Blood clots can develop, et cetera, et cetera. So just because you don't feel pain and it's not bothering you and you seem to be functioning doesn't mean that you are optimal. That's what we are trying to tap into is who are we and how does it feel to be optimal? So a lot of times when we're in kind of this daily routine, we're just checking boxes, we can get used to that and that can feel normal and we don't recognize that we have another gear that we can shift into. So if you want to shift into another gear and you want help with that and assistance and guidance and someone who's going to be shoulder to shoulder with you, go to thrivewithleo.com for one-on-one coaching with yours truly. I can help you either manage the pain and get out of pain, find your purpose, and get into prosperity, learning how to build and create the life that you want versus feeling stuck and stagnant or suffering in your personal life, right? We're going to get you from misery to meaning like that. Thank you for tuning to another episode of Before You Kill Yourself. Remember, this podcast is not a substitute for you calling the 988 or any of the other 800 numbers listed in all the show notes. You can chat, talk, text. You can go to thrivewithleo.com for one-on-one coaching with yours truly. Let's get to tomorrow together.